We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
On our last program, we began a lesson dealing with the seven glories of heaven. We were contrasting them with some previous lessons we dealt with on the seven horrors of hell. We're going to continue that lesson today, so let's briefly review the points that we covered in our previous lesson. We talked about the first glory of heaven being the glory of the light, and of course, the source of that light. The Bible indicates to us that in heaven, the light will not come from the sun, the light will not come from the moon, but rather the light will come from God Himself. God is the source of the light. A second glory of heaven is the glory of comfort. The fact that those who go to heaven will know no pain. There will be no tears, no suffering, and no sorrow. And of course, that is in contrast to the pain and the horror of hell and those who are suffering in that place. A third glory of heaven that we want to discuss in the lesson today deals with the things that will not be there. Now, certainly, as we think about things that will not be in heaven, we could make a long list. And we noted that one of the horrors of hell will be the things that will not be there. But we want to observe this same point with reference to heaven. Now, again, we could make a long list, and if each of us was asked to make a list of things that will not be in heaven, we would probably have a very different list. But I want to suggest to you just a few things that the Bible specifically says will not be in heaven. The first one is tears. Revelation 21 and verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." I think about the pain and the many tears shed by faithful elders, by gospel preachers, by godly Christian men and women as they have watched others throw their souls away. I think about Acts chapter 20 and verse 31, where the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." And I think about the tears of pain of little children who have been abused or neglected by worldly, ungodly parents. I think about the tears of emptiness cried by a devoted wife of many years at the loss of her dear husband. But friends, here is one of the great glories of heaven, is that there will be no more tears. Revelation 21 and verse 4 says, "God will wipe them away." And it says, "There will be no more sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." I want you to observe with me also that there will be no death in heaven. Now, this same verse promises that this will be the case. You know, of all the painful things in this life, I suppose that death is the greatest. Death takes from us those that we love the most, and it hurts in a way that we are at a loss even to describe. But in heaven, the promise is, "And there shall be no more death." And so, one of the great glories of heaven has to be the things that will not be there. There'll be no tears, no sorrow, no pain, no death. But number four, I want us to notice another glory of heaven is simply the word memory. Now, in a previous study, we observed that memory will be in hell, but memory will also be in heaven. The difference is, in hell, it will be a horror, but in heaven, it will be glory. Now, somebody says, "How? How is it that memory can be a glorious thing? I have so many painful memories. How can that possibly be a blessing?" Well, I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know that those painful memories won't be painful anymore. Because the promise is that there will be no sorrow, no pain, no crying. God is going to wipe those things away. You know, some people think that that means that God is going to remove our bad memories. I've got to confess that I don't know. I don't know how that's going to take place, but I believe it. But in heaven, there will be memory in the sense of recognizing old friends and loved ones and fellow Christians. And many passages teach us that there will be this future recognition. We sing a song sometimes that says, "If we never meet again this side of heaven, I'll meet you on that beautiful shore." And I think the Bible teaches that one day we will see each other again, and it will be a time of sweet reunion. And I think about the promise of 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. Paul speaks to those brethren in Thessalonica who had lost loved ones, and he says, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not." He said, don't be upset, don't be grieved by those who have passed on. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." What he's saying is, don't be sorrowful over their deaths because you're going to see them again. Verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And so, I have the promise that I will one day see my dear Christian friends again, and that I will remember them. Otherwise, what would the comfort be? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 14, Paul said that the Corinthian Christians were going to bring him rejoicing in the day of the Lord Jesus. How? I think it's going to be in that when he sees them in heaven, he'll rejoice at their faithfulness. And particularly because he remembers that they were a result of his efforts in the gospel. And here's David, 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. He's grieving over his child with Bathsheba. Verse 23, he asks, "Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Clearly, David had in mind a time in the future when he would be with his child again, and his memory of him would make this a sweet time indeed. And so one of the glories of heaven, I believe, is going to be the word memory. Number 5, a fifth glory of heaven is the sweet population of heaven. And of course, this is in contrast to the repulsive population of hell. One of the horrors of hell is going to be the inhabitants of that terrible place. All of the worst sinners the world has ever known will be there. But you have to appreciate with me that one of the glories of heaven will be its population. Every innocent child who has ever died will be there. Mothers who have lost children, those precious children, are going to be there. Our faithful, dear Christian parents that we lost so many years ago, they'll be there. My dear brother in Christ who taught me the gospel, who baptized me into the Lord's church, will be there. But in addition to the people that we've known in this life, consider some of the other inhabitants that I have never met. Luke 16, paradise is described as Abraham's bosom, and so Abraham's going to be there. Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of faith, we have all of those who are held up as examples of faithful souls. Abel and Enoch, Noah, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, Samuel. Imagine reliving those great Bible stories with the characters themselves. And of course, all of the holy angels of God will be there. Matthew 18:10 talks about the angels who do always behold the face of the Father in heaven. And so, they're going to be there. Matthew 25:31 calls the angels the holy angels. On that day, we will be amongst the holy angels of God. Glory number 6 is the word eternity. Now, we talked about eternity as one of the seven horrors of hell, and without a doubt it is. I can't think about anything more terrifying to me than spending eternity in hell. It never, never, never ends. Like Revelation 14 and verse 11, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night." Friends, it will make you lose sleep to think about this. But in heaven, eternity is a beautiful concept. Matthew 25:46 says, "And they shall," talking about the wicked, "they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Just as hell will be suffering forever, heaven will be joy, peace, and comfort eternally. You think of the most happy, the most content moment that you have known in this life, and imagine it never, ever ending, and you still will not be able to grasp the glory of heaven. Glory number 7, as we talk about heaven, is that it is a place that is a specially prepared place. It is a place that God created for the faithful. In John chapter 14 and verse 2, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Friends, consider that. The Lord has gone to prepare a place. It is a specially prepared place to bring joy to those who are faithful children of God. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 18 figuratively describes for us in the most precious terms that man can imagine. The Bible says, "And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was of pure gold, as it were transparent glass." Verse 23, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Chapter 22 and verse 1 says, "There was a pure river of water of life proceeding out of the throne of God, and in the midst of the street was there the tree of life." Friends, one of the blessings of heaven has got to be the glorious place the Lord has prepared for us. Seven glories of heaven: the light, the comfort and rest, the things that will not be there, memory, the sweet reunions that we'll have, the glorious population, eternity, and the place prepared. When you think about these things, it's not hard to understand why Revelation 14:13 says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." Today, ask yourself the question, am I in the Lord? Am I a member of the Lord's church? Because if I'm not a member of the church of Christ, I can't look forward to these glories of heaven. If I am not a member of the church of Christ, what is awaiting me are the seven horrors of hell.